Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now, for Browns fans around the world, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Out of Liverpool, England!
It was super necessary.
Hello.
There we go, bro.
Yes, brother. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm excellent, man. Excellent, excellent.
Good to hear it. Thank you very much for joining me. Looking forward to it. First one for me for the year, so it's a good way to start.
Well, good. It's good to be on, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So, first things first. For anybody just joining, obviously joined by Kashan Khan, making his pro debut this year on Raged MMA. We'll come on to that in a little moment. But first and foremost, how I always start these is just nice and simple. How did you get started in MMA?
So I was around 14, 15, and a couple of my friends started wrestling. And it was just like, we would always have like a couple takedowns on the school playground and stuff. And we were younger, we'd be okay. And then they all started getting really, really good. So, and they started whooping us. So we're like, you know what? We got to maybe start and get the better of them. Funny thing, I started my first session. I think it was like 10 minutes in. I ripped my pants. I had to go home. Literally like 5, 10 minutes in. And I was like, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm not going to come back. But then my friend forced me the next day. And then from there on, it was just like, I just kept the wrestling going. And then I started getting bored a little bit. I was like, wrestling is just not. I started watching Conor McGregor, funnily enough. I remember, I think it was Poirier he fought. And I was like, you know what? This is sick. So I started MMA not long after. And then from there, it was like quite quickly, I started doing little comps and stuff.
Did you start wearing like stretchier pants, tight, stronger pants?
Bro, I never wore joggers ever again after that. that was embarrassing, that was. But it's good because I never forget the feeling of coming home and I was thinking, you know what, I'm never ever doing this sport again. It was tough. It was so, so tough.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it can't get any, it can't go any sort of further down than there from on your first day, can it? So
exactly.
I suppose from there it was only up.
Exactly. It only gets better from there.
That's it. So looking at last year, you'd only had one fight in 2023. Yeah. What was that down to injuries or just not being able to get opponents? What was the reason for that?
That was it for me. I always said, and I know some people look at it differently. It was like, when I'm going to decide to go pro or make that transition to pro, I need time off to develop my skill and just go get sessions in wherever I can. And just when I come back, everyone should look at me and say, well, who's this guy? That's what I wanted. So I was going and traveling as far over as I could to different places, especially within the UK, getting good rounds in. Developing my grappling in certain places, looking at where is it that I've got deficiencies that now when I'm going into pro game, they can be exploited. So I've got to really go ahead and work with them. So there was thoughts of, you know, I was thinking, you know what, I'll have one more amateur maybe just to keep me busy. But then I was thinking to myself, I am developing my skill well. And then this year, you know, the coming year, I'll be very, very active. So I thought, you know, I'll have that one and then we'll call it there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very different approach. You don't really hear of that very often. You know, people like to have an amateur fight and then sort of a couple of months later go straight into the pros. So, yeah, I think it's a fresh approach certainly to going into a pro. So, Just going a bit further back, looking back at your record, 2019, you had four fights in that year, very busy year for you. And then obviously lockdown hit, everything kind of just stopped. How difficult was that for you to adjust to, obviously, with you being so busy the year before?
Lockdown, I mean, that was a crazy year because I think it's my just before, after I'd fought Myers, won the title, I was scheduled to fight 5 weeks later on Fightstar, so 4 weeks later. So it was like, and then I'd planned on fighting again 2 months later. It was supposed to be a crazy, crazy active year. I remember saying, my coach is saying to me, we're gonna fight every month or every 2 months, just like keep getting you in there and chucking you in there. And then I think it was within that week after beating Myers, they were like, all right, we're going into lockdown, everyone sit in your homes. Just I remember thinking to myself, well, I might as well just eat and just chill because I've just fought a couple of times, and I think I got up to like 81 kilos or something like that. Like I really like got heavy. We were doing like sessions here and there in the park, but I didn't feel like we was doing much. And then I think it was in between lockdown where a lot of my friends started saying, bro, like I've got friends obviously who are, well, they were high level amateurs at that point. That, bro, all we do is we study fight footage, we watch fights, and that's where we take advantage of being having the opportunity. So go away and do that. So we started, I mean, me and my younger brother, we both started just doing that, watching loads of fight footage and then doing shadow stuff. And then towards the end, we started developing our skill a bit more. But it was very hard because I took what, 2 and a half, 3 years off the amateur career. And I was, I think I was around 19, 18, 19. And so I was still quite young and progressing.
Yeah, I suppose the only sort of benefit, not benefit, but like plus side to it is was you were so young at the time, so it's important to get that in at the start of your career, but you've still got a very long career ahead of you as well at the same time. So it's not like, it hasn't derailed you sort of at the peak of your career or anything like that, I suppose is the only sort of positive way to look at it.
Exactly.
So you mentioned there you finished 2023 as the FSC Bantamweight champion. Do you feel that you have accomplished everything as an amateur now moving into pro ranks?
I have. I mean, I for me, after the Jimmy Quinn loss, especially, that was mentally. I think. I mean, I don't know if you think about it, get like losing a decision, etc. These things. They're tough, they're horrible. Losing is always hard, but losing via like a spinning heel kick, like a highlight reel KO, like when you don't expect it, when you felt the best you've ever felt, that was like for me, the amateur was like, can I come back from this? And then there's so many times I was considering just, you know what, this is a knockout, a loss like that. It's very, very hard. Like mentally, I was struggling to gauge the interest to want to come back. I didn't train for a long time after that. So I was thinking to myself, as a fight as a person, I owe it to myself. Let me get back in there against the guy who beat the guy that I lost to. Let me test myself against him. And if I can beat this guy and if I can put a master, like a good professional performance on against him, I can take this all the way. But it's more mental. So I was like, this game and you know yourself, MMA is just all is a majority mental. A lot of guys break themselves before they even get in there. So I was like, this is my biggest hurdle. I always said I wanted to be a professional. Can I do it? Overcoming such adversity, such as that. So, and even I pulled my hamstring in the warm up of that fight as
Oh,
well,
Jesus.
funny enough. So it was like, and so I just taking pain. We took painkillers, and I was still in agony. And they were like, "We're gonna have to just." We completely scrapped the game plan. It was from we're gonna grapple to you're just gonna strike with this guy and stand with him. And if you can engage later on, engage. But I think all that adversity, my coach said to me, "You want to be a pro? Pro is all about adversity and overcoming adversity as an amateur. Let's do it."
You talk about that sort of highlight reel knockout that you were on the receiving end of. We hear about these vital knockouts and things all the time, and it's always about the person who's the one knocking somebody out and how big of a deal it is for them. But how do you deal with sort of being on the receiving end of that? Because it must be, it must be tough for you when you're seeing that sort of on repeat on different channels all over the place and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, the thing with, I remember the when it first happened. I think it was, even in on the day, it was like I see him turn around. Next thing you know, we're in a kebab shop in Essex. It's like it. Your brain, you just don't even. You can't. I've never. You've never had. When you've never had your lights switched off like that, it's like a surreal. You don't know what's happened to you. Then I remember. Obviously, I live in like a pretty small crowded area, so it's like everyone had seen it. So it was like wherever I was going, people. It was like it was a funeral procession. Like everyone was like, "Oh man, we're really sorry." And it made it worse because you feel more sorry for yourself. And then hence why I stopped training. I kind of got into this like rut where I was like, you know what? It's just that you can't recover from that. And you do sometimes think you're not gonna be able to recover from that because a knockout like that that's gonna go so viral, they play it so many times, it's gonna bother you. You're gonna think, flip, like that's like the end of my amateur, or everything, all the good I've done is not really been shown, but the one little mistake I've made, it's been shown all over. But I think for me, the biggest thing was realizing people don't really care. They read it. There'll be another highlight reel kill that comes, and they're like, "Oh, they're just gonna move on to that." Or there'll be something that they always move on. People are fickle in this game; they change quite easily. So, for me, it was a massive thing because in that last fight, it was like I stopped caring. It was like I'm gonna go in there and enjoy myself. I'm doing this. I mean, I'm signing up to this willingly. I'm saying, okay, I want to do it. There's a reason I'm saying that. It's because I do enjoy what I do. So it's like if it happens again, it happens again. But I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna put performances on and do what I have to do to avoid that. But I think that last fight, my right hand was glued to my face tighter than it's ever been, fully. It didn't leave my face the whole fight, I think.
Yeah, not making that mistake again.
Definitely not. It was.
But that, I suppose, again, a lot of people always talk about how much losing helps you learn more than from any win. So that just proves it there. Like you say, your right hand was glued to your face essentially that whole fight. So
Exactly.
straight away you've took a lesson from that. So that's the only way you grow, isn't it, as a fighter?
100%. 100%.
So I think you kind of touched on it already. Was it always the plan to turn pro this year?
It wasn't actually, to be fair. It was the plan was after that fight was to do 2-3 at flyweight.
All right.
Reason being, because I've never gone under bantamweight. I mean, I started fighting my first amateur was at lightweight, I think 70 kilos. So I started pretty heavy. But I noticed as I was going down the line, and you can agree as well, there's some big boys at like even bantamweight now. The boys are just, I don't know what they're feeding them, but they're huge. So it's like my coach is like, let's have a go at a couple more. So after this fight against Myers, we'll smash him up, and then we'll take some flyweight fights against the top flyweights in the country. But that being said, I'm 22 years old now, and I started to notice I'm holding weight a lot more now, and I'm not really sitting like as low as I used to. So even thinking about doing just flyweight amateurs and then putting my body through that, and then not really getting nothing for it, it was like, you know what, let's go to pro. We can do a similar thing, but you could make something for it and make something off yourself for it as well.
Yeah, and I suppose it's how your body's developing as well, isn't it? Like you say, you're only 22. You've kind of, you say you stopped growing at 21, so you've only kind of just stopped growing if you believe that. But I suppose as an amateur, you don't really know how it's going to go. You can start at one weight and then you might have this big mad growth spurt and put on sort of 20, 30 kilos naturally kind of thing. It could be out of nowhere, couldn't it? So no, I'm looking forward to seeing you go pro. So as you mentioned, you're making your pro debut on March the 9th under the Raged MMA banner. How much are you looking forward to that moment walking out as a pro?
Honestly, I'm so excited. It's obviously, as we said, it's been like a very last year's been very inactive, and for me, I'm just itching constantly. I was trying to do this comp, that comp, this comp. My coach was like, just chill a little bit, relax, take it easy. And it was very hard for me, like really hard. Discipline was there, but it's hard to not to be disciplined when there's nothing in front of you sometimes. So now I've got something in front of me. It's like, all right, I've got that target, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I know that everyone around me is excited as well, because we always spoke about when we were younger, and we would take the mick at each other and say who's gonna go pro, etc. And I think it's just consistency, and it's what led me to this now. And I'm just excited to just be in the moment. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, definitely. So what is it about Rage as a promotion and just as a show that makes you feel it's the best place for you to be making your pro debut?
I mean, I think it's the setup for a lot of. I look at a lot of the guys who are like fighting in big shows now. They all started on shows similar to Rage, etc. And these guys are just giving platforms to young amateurs stepping into the professional game. I think that's the most important thing for me. And the guys look after you in a way that's professional as well. Everything's done on time, etc. I've seen the way the show runs a couple of times, hence why I'm looking forward to fighting on the show. And that's one of my main reasons, especially being that it's not a show that they just look at you as like a statistic. This guy's just this guy with this record's coming in and blank canvas, and they don't really care about you. It's the fact that they make the effort even before I've even fought on the show. I think that's the most important thing for me.
Yeah, definitely. So I've seen a video on your Instagram, you're training with the 4 ounce gloves on, looking very sharp with them on, I must say.
You
How
will.
difficult is that sort of, was that transition for you initially to go from the sort of heavier gloves to them much lighter gloves?
Bro, it's weird. It is so weird. Yeah, I'm telling you, the when I put those 4 ounces on, I had to look at my hands a couple of times. I was like, this is like okay, punching with them is one thing. When I'm hitting the bag and looking sharp, what about me getting punched out? Then I was like, oh, that's gonna hurt. It's you'd think it's not much of a difference because we're wearing pretty small gloves, but that rounded bit being away, it's like crazy. It's like okay, this is real fighting. That made me respect the guys who do it so much more. But it's very exciting. But I think with the training with it on, one thing I've noticed is we do a lot of obviously bag work with the big gloves. So when you take those gloves off and you put those small gloves on, you feel like your hands are just like super super sharp. And that's what's exciting about it is to put some hands on someone with those small gloves. I think that's the most exciting part. For me, especially, and that's why the second I knew I was turning pro, I had to get some shiny new gloves, four ounce gloves.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I suppose you've got to be a lot more precise with your punches as well, haven't you? Because like one sort of 1 inch or one little tiny bit out of position and stuff like that, and you could cause yourself damage with them gloves on. So I
Yeah.
suppose it must help with your precision and your punches and stuff like that.
100%. It's the margin for error is very little. Even boxing gloves now, you can get caught quite nasty. You see the 12 ounces. 4 ounces is like, it's like, all right, if I make a small mistake, leave my chin out, or manage my distance wrong, you're getting clocked. So it is crazy, but it also makes you develop your skill and just makes your awareness so much more. And that's the difference I see between the amateurs and the pros. With the amateur style, the guys are quite reckless. They'll come in often and they'll hit each other. They don't really have as much respect. Whereas a 4 ounce glove, I don't really want to get punched in the head with a 4 ounce glove
No,
by
definitely not.
rushing in too much.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
So you train out of Blackbeard MMA, I believe.
Yeah.
How important have the guys there been in your development?
I've been at Blackbeard MMA since I was like 15. I knew my coach Khalid, since I was young. He's my uncle's friend. And funny thing is, the first time I met him was in a dessert shop, unrelated to MMA. It was like with my uncle. And he was telling me I coach MMA, and he remembers me telling him, oh, I want to fight. And he said, you know, the amount of times you hear people say they want to fight, he goes, and the amount of people say, yeah, I want to compete, and they don't do it. He's like, I didn't think you were serious. But I remember when I joined the club, it was like I was just a wrestler, just a pure wrestler. Like I would just shoot, shoot, shoot. And then he obviously they got like a shoot boxing style, so they got that aggressive boxing and wrestling, and they mix it together with finishing the submissions. He really put a lot of investment and time into me, and I remember effort, extra sessions and one-to-ones, and he never took a penny from me. He was just always adamant that I've got to develop. He sent me out to other gyms. He was like, look, we've got to make sure you develop your skill to the best way possible. And I think that's why, as a fighter myself now to this day, I owe a lot to him, because I don't look at it as everything is strict. He said fighting is free. You fight, everyone fights in their own way, and everyone has their own style, and that's what makes it more exciting when it comes together. It's not about you have to stand your back up straight like this and do this like that. And he's always like, as long as you understand the negatives and positives of everything, you go forward. And that's really helped me in my career in general, with every decision I've made.
Yeah. And you mentioned there about going into other gyms and stuff like that as well. I suppose doing that from a young age especially is must have helped you develop your skills even like massively as well.
I mean, do you know, when because we were, our gym is quite small, growing now. We was like, you'd say you were one of the toughest guys on the mats. You'd know when you're one of the toughest guys on the mats. The rounds aren't crazy hard. And then it was like, all of a sudden going to a gym where there's like six, seven of those guys, and you're just getting whooped, like beatings on beatings, like guys who are older or guys who are like, all right, this guy's used to beating people up and not getting beat up, and by guys who are more senior. And it was just like, I remember the first couple whoopings I took, I was like, okay, this is actually MMA now. This is like where it starts. And I remember being obsessed with just everything that happened to me. I was like, all right, next day I'm gonna come back. It's not gonna happen to me again. And that was the most important thing for development. I think a lot of guys underestimate the power of just getting whooped a little bit and getting put in bad positions. That was the most important thing, especially when I went to Apex, which was obviously is one of my other gyms as well. Under Adam Amisinger, who's a very, very elite coach as well. He obviously developed our skill as well, and he said, look, you guys are raw still, you're missing certain components that I've got put together. And so he really helped us with that as well.
You talk about sort of, going into other gyms and seeing the level sort of increase a bit, and getting a few weapons here and there. Can that be a motivator for you as well to sort of, like you say, go to yourself, right, that's not going to happen tomorrow?
100%. It's if that doesn't, then I don't know what will. I think the when you get to the fights, that's a whole different thing. You can your holes get exposed, etc. Still even, but being in the gym and the same thing happening to you, I always say to the young students in our gym, if the same thing is happening to you next week that was happening to you this week, you're not made for this. It should be that it should bother you that those things are happening to you. You should be like, all right. And if you look at YouTube nowadays, I keep getting caught in a double leg. There's like 100,000 videos by elite fighters that are telling you how to stop it. Guys more experienced who are actually implementing it. So you've got to take advantage. And myself, I'm like that. I have a very obsessive mentality. If I even get caught in one bad position, it's like I'm going on YouTube the next day and I'm watching hours on how I can stop that.
So you mentioned obviously coaches are coach of Blackbeard, coach at Apex. Can you just highlight some of the other coaches and some of your training partners that you work with there?
So I've got now at Blackbeard, I've got a bunch of young killers come on the come. I've got my younger brother, Hardy, who's obviously he's an amateur now as well. He's working the way up. I've got Adam Raja, Beard, so many other like young guys who are coming up into the amateur scene with the backing. Then that's Blackbeard. Then you got Apex. You've got Adam Amisinger. You got Harry Shaw, Aaron Allais. You've got so many high level pros under one team. And amateurs mixing together, the pros, the amateurs starting to become like the pros, and the pros levels going up as well because they're implementing their game plans on us all the time as well. And then I box out Lucky Gloves Boxing as well. That's my boxing club. We've got loads of national champions, Haringey Box Cup champions. The most notable for me is Hassan Ishak. He's a monster. He's a machine, and he's one of the main guys who really helps me prepare for my fights, especially the last one or two fights, I'd say. We really upped the gears with Lucky. And Lucky, as a boxing coach, is amazing. Old school boxing coach. And I know you boys down in Liverpool are hardcore in the boxing as well. And that's one thing that I really like about the fighters from down there. They all got amazing hands. And so I myself started looking into just doing a bit more boxing in the camps and stuff and getting my hands sharp.
Yeah, I think it's such a big component in it nowadays, especially as you mentioned, like Liverpool with a big boxing city always have been. MMA is massively on the rise here. I wanted to ask you sort of about the level of amateurs, because I feel within a position now in this country where the level of amateurs isn't actually too far away from the level of the pros. I think the level of amateur in this country at the moment is absolutely phenomenal.
Honestly, I'm maybe if I'm saying this, I'd say now a majority of the high level amateurs are better than a lot of the lower level pros that haven't had much amateur experience. Honest truth, because I'm looking at some of these young guys even now that are just coming into the amateur scene and making their first, second, third fight, and it looks like they've been fighting for years. But these kids have been fighting for years, hence why I'm saying best to take advantage and get in the pro game and get out early before these young hybrid killers who've been doing it for 20 years come in and start taking over the game. It's amazing to see the quality, and for me, I learn a lot from it as well, because you can just before it was like I'd click and watch pro fights, etc. Now you click on an amateur fight, you're watching two guys go at it who are coming towards the end of their amateur career. It's so high level, so and there's they're so well rounded as well. I think that's one thing of I've noticed in the game that everyone's working every aspect of their game. There's not just a jiu-jitsu guy or just a boxer or just a, you've got the guys that have their specialties. But I think that's one thing that separates, especially the UK amateur scene. Everyone's so well-rounded.
Yeah, and I think it's this new age and new influx of fighters. You know, you said yourself you started at sort of 14, 15, but you've got kids starting at 5 and 6 nowadays. And so by the time it, you know, they're having fights, there's a kid shows going on in the country now. And by the time they're getting to that amateur stage, it's like you say, they've already had so many fights as a kid. So by the time they make it to the pros, they're just going to dominate everybody.
Seriously, yeah, it's crazy.
But it's amazing to be a part of. I mean, for you, be just being a part of that and this new age of fighter, what's that like for you?
It's amazing. I sometimes I forget my age, and then I forget that I'm still so young in the game. But I don't let that fool me. I know time flies quick in this game as well. Majority of these young amateurs will be pro soon, and I myself was the same as them. So to now be part of the New Age Pros, I want to go in and show the level of the New Age Pros. I want to show such a well-rounded game, show that we're efficient in every position, and show that we're young and hungry. I think that's the main thing, because a lot of these guys in that top lot of the bantamweights, the flyweights, they're killers. They're killers, and they're old school killers. They've still got that mentality. They've been training hard, and they're experienced in the game. But I think I look at the level of competition we had in amateur coming into pro now. It's like when I'm looking at these guys, a lot of these guys, they haven't faced as much competition that we did at such a high level so early on in their careers. And that's why I'm so excited to show the difference in skill this year, definitely.
So, for those who may not have come across yourself before, what can fans expect from a Kashan Khan fight?
Explosive. That's all they can expect. High pace. I don't look to go in there and like set, you know, like a slow pace and go in there and take my time. Even as a pro, is to use the conditioning and the cardio to the advantage, and put the pace on these guys. Especially mixing the wrestling and the boxing together. That's what I'm looking forward to doing. And with those forearms gloves now, even more so, and the elbows. Come in there and put some explosive performances on. Amateur was, towards the end, it was tactical, you know, making mistakes, learning, etc. And they say pro now, the margin for error is little, but also they're so clotted now, you have to be different. You have to bring something to the table to want to make it as a pro. So I have to go in there and put those performances on, get those finishes. There's no going in there and decisions and you know, weighing down, getting the rounds banked in, etc. I'm coming for every finish I can get.
Yeah, definitely. So you signed with Showtime at the end of 2023. What's it been like working with those guys so far?
That's been excellent. I wasn't expecting to sign with them. I've been managing myself most of my amateur career, especially towards the mid to end part of it. So it was like comfort and just, you know, like I would just do as I wished. And with these guys now, and having Lewis even, for example, now obviously helping me out a lot, I mean, it's excellent. It's like they even sorted me out with this fight. Anything I need is there. They, you know, they got me on here. Is they give me opportunities which I didn't even know I really needed to have, and they bring out the best in me, I think, as a fighter, and they really are looking after me as well. And I think most people would just say that because of who they are, but they're not here, so if I'm complimenting them and saying these things, because I believe that they will help me take myself to a different level and get on those bigger shows, I think, as well,
Yeah.
which is quite tough to do if you're just someone who's representing yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed, you know, they're taking a real interest in UK MMA, which is, you know, rare. You wouldn't think a sort of company that's fronted by Anthony Pettis would have this much of a interest in UK MMA. They're signing up a lot of up and coming fighters such as yourself. Obviously, they had a show over here, and you know, APFC back in Manchester. Back in the last year. How much is this going to help UK MMA with them taking such a big interest?
I mean, you look at Anthony Pettis now, it's a household name. Everyone knows Anthony Pettis. His videos are all over YouTube. He's a UFC champion, so it's not like he's a small name. So to have that type of guy, even I remember when I signed these guys, everyone had Showtime straight away. Like, there's people who don't even know MMA like that well. They knew who he was and what he was. So to have a name like that backing UK MMA is huge for everybody. And you're looking at a lot of the guys that are even on the Showtime stable. They're getting some good fights already, and they're getting the opportunities that they never would have got. So the UK guys are starting to spread out all over the world, and it's dangerous for these other guys because the UK seems so underrated. You look from early on, the Ultimate Fighter, etc. These UK guys were bringing it from early on, but I feel like the opportunities weren't as available for our guys as much as they were for the Americans and the Dagestanis, and we get left behind a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. But as I say, we're on the rise massively. You know,
100%.
you look at what UK fighters are doing in the big promotions in the UFCs. You know, you've got Tom Aspinall, you've got Leon Edwards doing massive things, and then you know you go into sort of PFL. You know, I think we've got about three or four champions in there now. It's like this could be the golden age of UK MMA, and you know. Fighters like yourself are at the forefront of that, so it's just the start.
100%. It's amazing. It's amazing to see, and I think there's still so much to be done yet, because people still think that the British guys only have a certain style, or they're just strikers, or they're not able. But you got guys like Jack Shaw, a few of these guys now that are coming out grappling these guys and showing that our guys can do things just as better.
Yeah, absolutely. So to finish off then, mate, you said you're looking for 2024 to be an active year for yourself. What is
Definitely.
the goal for you this year? Is it just to be active and get a few fights in?
It's so my aim is to obviously, yeah, the few fights, but I want one or two fights wherever, maybe regionally, and then I want to start spreading out to all over the place. I want to travel, man. I'm tired of fighting just in the UK. I want to get all over the place, start getting the name out there, and look to put myself out there. If not, I'm going to fight regionally and fight wherever I can. But this year is going to be a very, very, very active year. It has to be. I need to go out there and get finishes, and set myself up.
Yeah. Well, 9th of March, that's the big night. I don't think your opponent's been announced just yet, has it? Or has it?
No, yeah, there's a they've given me an opponent, Vinny Baldwin, I think it is his name is.
Yeah.
So he's tough. He's very, very tough. He's quite well known. He's aggressive. He's gonna come out and try and finish you, but he also does give up as well. So it's not gonna be great in a small cage with another man.
That's it. I'd say 9th of March is the big night for you. Raged MMA, that's when it goes down. So best of luck to that. Can't wait to see
Thank you,
how
Jabo.
it goes for you. And I just want to thank you for taking the time out for joining me this morning.
Appreciate you for making the time, Jabo. I really enjoyed being on, man. It was amazing.
Anytime, mate. Anytime. I'll have to do it again sometime.
Definitely, bro. It was good to see you, man.
You too. Well, thank you again. And yeah, take it easy.
Take care of yourself, bro. Appreciate you.
I love it!
It was super necessary.
Go now.